Today on Doomed! Dare to keep kids off social media. Facebook and Instagram toxic for your teens. And this may not seem like a big revelation to any of you who've been following basically everything going on in the online and social media space over the years. But this time, it comes from Facebook itself. That's right, leaked documents from Facebook show just how much the company knew about the harm it did to young people, and continues to do, to young people on its platform. Folks, hello everybody. How are you doing today? I'm pulling myself up on the screen for the live stream viewers. We are live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and a lot to talk about today. This is a Matt Binder solo show, that's right. That's because I covered this issue, so I can speak to it. In terms of what's going on, I, of course, have previously had social media experts on to discuss this issue, and I will have more. Excuse me, I'll have more to talk about this in the future, but I thought this one was a good episode to pretty much get everyone in tune to what's going on, because this is going to be a major topic going forward. And there was a congressional hearing today for this very issue, and quite frankly, probably one of the more productive congressional hearings on the internet in general that there's ever been. You know, Facebook did not send Mark Zuckerberg. They sent their global head of safety. And we're going to dive right into all of that in just a moment. But before we do that, I'm going to use this opportunity to plug how you can support this show. Also, we'll be talking about, by the way, my debate with Michael Tracy. If you're unaware, I debated Michael Tracy last Friday at the last minute due to a segment that I did with the Majority Report crew last Thursday. Tracy contacted me the next day, wanted to talk about it. This was that the discussion of his recent reporting at college campuses over university COVID policies. So we did that last Friday. I was on the Majority Report today as well, and we discussed my debate with Tracy, but we'll get more into it later on in the program. Also, what else? I'm sure there's some other things that'll come up as we go along. But to support this show, patreon.com/MattBinder. To support the show, if you could sign up and become a paid subscriber on a monthly basis, I would greatly appreciate it. We are about to hit 300 patrons. Again, that might not sound like a lot if you're a subscriber to bigger shows, or maybe it does sound like a lot if you're a young upstart Patreon creator who's just got a handful of patrons. But either way, to me, 300's a big deal. So patreon.com/MattBinder to support this show. I'm still demonetized on YouTube, so you can't drop any super chats as a thank you. So the best way you can thank me right now is go to patreon.com/MattBinder. Also, tomorrow is the first... Well, if you're on the live stream tomorrow, if you're watching... The listening to the podcast, we've already passed this, but you could help now too. This show is being is live on September 30th, and if you're listening to it, it's been taped on September 30th. October 1st, first of the month, Patreon charges people, which means inevitably there's going to be some declines and we're going to lose some patrons. If you could help ease that blow, I greatly appreciate it. So without any further ado, though, let me thank those new patrons right off the bat. People who've joined since the last episode of the show. They are Matthew from, this is a very specific handle. I don't know if you want me to give away where you live, but it's part of your username. So I'll just say Matthew from Indy. Then Tyler C., Darcy R., Zach, Zakeel O'Neill. I love that name, by the way. I'm guessing your name is Zach. David L., Scott G., Josiah M., Hamish B, Justin R, Jay and John, Tyler P, Paul B, and DH. Thank you all so much for subscribing and becoming patrons. It is greatly appreciated. YouTube.com/MattBender to subscribe to this channel. Also, Twitch.tv/MattBender. Follow me on Twitter. Ironically, Instagram, based on this episode, at MattBender. Doomedcast.com for the podcast version of this show. And what else? I think that's all I'll promote. Ratethispodcast.com/doomed. If you could, if some of you could be a doll and leave a podcast review, Apple Podcasts would be great, but whatever would you like, really. There's a bunch of links at that very URL I just gave you all where you can leave podcast reviews. But let me read a recent podcast review right now. I like doing this because I think some of them are fun. Where is it? All right, here we go. The most recent review is, here we go. Kingston, you know, says, I love Doomed. Matt, you are rock solid. Great political analysis with a bit of punk flavor. Check it out, folks. That's right. That's right. I like that. That's just one of the many reviews you'll find, and I would like you all to leave some as well. All right, let's... Andy Cole in the YouTube chat just Patreoned you, Matt. Why, thank you, Andy. We're less than a dozen away from 300. Maybe like 10? Again, if you're listening to the podcast version of the show, it is already October 1st, most likely, and you will go and see that we are not at we are no longer close to 300, but maybe if you join right now, we will jump back up and make up for who we lose. And of course, if you can't financially support this show, please do not do it. You could help by spreading the word. Tell your friends about the live stream. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your favorite other podcasters and live streamers that, hey, you should have Matt Binder on your show, because that helps me getting in front of other audiences. For sure helps. All right, so let's, enough with the self-promo. You all know how much I hate doing it, but I gotta. Let's jump right into today's topic. Now, I mean, you've probably heard by now some of the details coming out of this congressional hearing today on Facebook and Instagram and how they affect children. Well, children as in users in their teens. To me, in my mid-30s, children. They're under 18, right? Now... Because on Instagram, you have to be at least 13 years old to use it. So we're talking about people between the age of 13 and 18, right? Now, the congressional hearing was in front of the Senate Subcommittee on Consumer Protection. Chairman is, excuse me, Richard Blumenthal, the Democratic senator from Connecticut. And he went viral earlier today. Because another instance of a politician, a congressperson, not really understanding technology, social media, you know, this stuff always goes viral. Remember when, Mark Zuckerberg said something, I don't even remember what it was, to a senator who didn't quite get something at a hearing and it went viral and they were like t-shirts printed up and all other, bullshit. But let me just play this clip. Let's get it out of the way. Here is Senator Blumenthal saying what he said. Not this clip. This is from last week. There we go. Not quite getting the technology. And then Facebook's global head of safety, Ms. Davis, she quickly explains to him what a Finsta is. Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm playing this.
Will you commit to ending Finsta?
Senator, again, let me explain. We don't actually do Finsta. What Finsta refers to is young people setting up accounts where they want, may want to have more privacy. You refer to it as privacy from their parents. What in my interaction with teens, what I found is that they sometimes like to have an account where they can interact just with their.
All right, right. All right, here we go. Did he say something else?
Well, Finsta is one of your. Finsta is one of your products or services. We're not talking here about Google or Apple. It's Facebook, correct?
Finsta is slang for a type of account.
Okay, will you end that type of account?
I'm not sure I understand exactly what you're asking. What I can say is that based on what we've seen in terms of teens using those kinds of accounts, we've actually given them additional privacy options.
All right. So clearly, Senator Blumenthal did not understand what a Finsta was. His aides clearly put together stuff that he was reading from, and he seems to have misread it or misunderstood it. Finsta is basically like the Facebook representative said. Finsta is basically a fake Instagram account, someone's secondary, someone's alt account. You know, young people set it up where set up a secondary account called a Finsta to put stuff on there that they wouldn't necessarily post on their main account. Whether it's something more private or something more insidery, like inside jokes with real life friends, as opposed to the friends they've curated via Instagram posting, you know, it's not something that Facebook actually runs. And everyone was laughing at Senator Blumenthal, ha ha ha. Yes, it's stupid, but I feel like these sort of things, and Champagne Libra in the YouTube chat is laughing. LMFAO, abolish Finstas. Yeah, I mean, it's stupid that he thought it was a Facebook product. Like, Facebook could, stop their, you know, when you create a Facebook account, you can't checkmark the Finsta box anymore. I mean, he clearly did not mean this, but there are ways Facebook could actually stop Finstas. You could deem it so you can only create a single account, right? You can't have multiple accounts. And they know. They know. I mean, sure, there are different loopholes you can do so that they don't know, but most teens are probably not, you know, using a VPN. You know, most teens are probably not using one of those workarounds for their secondary account. So, I mean, there are certainly ways Facebook could not abolish Finstas, like Champagne Libra said, but there's certainly ways they could make it so most teens are not creating Finstas, if that was something that they felt like they needed to do. But anyway, that's not what he meant. But, you know, this stuff goes viral. And listen, if it brings eyes to the overall point of this specific hearing, then that's great. More people should know what's going on here. If it's just a viral moment to laugh at Senator Blumenthal, I also think I don't care about Senator Blumenthal, so fine, do that too. But what I want to say, if that's all that comes out of this, no one is really looks into what Facebook and Instagram have found through their own research, then, I mean, who cares what Senator Blumenthal said? Yes, it's important that our politicians understand this technology and what they are advocating that they regulate. And in many cases, you know, if you don't understand a certain technology and you're trying to regulate it in some way, that could be a problem. You need to sort of understand what you want to make laws on, right? And it certainly shows that we definitely need younger people running our country, right? I mean, Congress is old. I think the average age, the median age is in their mid-60s. Not good, especially when dealing with technology. But I mean, the Finsta thing is not really something that's going to stop any of the things that need to be done on this specific issue. So I digress on how important this viral moment is. To me, the issue should be on the fact that Facebook and Instagram, and this is what this congressional hearing is on, Facebook and Instagram, Facebook, the company as a whole, their platforms are Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp too, they had internal research that showed that their platforms are harmful towards teenagers, especially teenage girls. Now, this is this was material in the form of slides, like presentations, that were leaked to the Wall Street Journal. And the Wall Street Journal reported on this. And some of this information is certainly very worrying. Something like, I believe it was 13% of UK teens and high single-digit percentage, I think 6 or 7% of US teens, basically said that these platforms were not good for their health, their mental health. Feelings of loneliness, depression, anxiety, eating disorders really permeated their feeds and affected how they, their own mental health. And it's one thing for these platforms to go out there and, you know, they do their thing and they say, we really can't speak to this specific, our role in this, we're sort of looking into it, our role isn't as such. I mean, we're just the medium here. And there are aspects where I agree with that. The right wing likes to present that the pandemic created this atmosphere where kids were going out and committing suicide. And I have to say that is really not based, in my understanding and what I've read, in reality. These sorts of things are not triggered by just being home during the pandemic. There is something more there. Can the pandemic and the issues that go along with the pandemic contribute? Sure, there's no doubt that there are issues that stem from the pandemic and lockdowns and quarantines that weigh on people's mental health, no doubt about it. But the idea that that alone and no other underlying factors contributed to someone going out committing suicide, to me, just doesn't make any sense. And from what I understand, the experts and professionals out there also would agree with that. No one just would go out and self-harm simply because of the pandemic. The pandemic can contribute to something else that's there, but that's not why they do that. So similarly with this, sure, someone who has self-esteem issues is going to have them without Facebook and Instagram. Someone who is depressed is not depressed solely because of what they see on Facebook and Instagram. There's obviously things going on at home, things going on internally that they're unhappy with. There are many factors. But we have right here is Facebook's own research, though, where they knew that this wasn't just like a situation where people were sharing their feelings on their platform. Teens were specifically saying that, no, my usage of these platforms directly in turn had me feeling these ways. And there are some leaked slides that I want to bring up right now. Give me one second to pull them up. And, they are, quite frankly, worrying. Here's one, quite frankly, that in Facebook's own words, completely analyzes the issue here. Let me make it a little bit smaller so you can see. Okay. The title of this slide is "Aspects of Instagram Exacerbate Each Other to create a perfect storm in terms of these issues. And this is the one I wanted to pull up, actually. This is the one I was thinking about before I pulled up the other one. Look at this. This is Facebook's own internal research here. Users' experience of downward spiral is exacerbated by our platform. And on Instagram, for example, there's a pressure to look perfect. Some of these, the text here is hard to read because these are leaked slides. Clearly pictures that were taken. And, you know, Wall Street Journal has made some of these slides, all of these slides, I believe, public now. Here's another one I want to bring up. This one is another amazing one. And, you know, by amazing, I mean quite disturbing. Here are some things researchers heard from teens in their study. Mental health outcomes related to this can be severe. As for eating disorders, you had teen saying, I keep looking at these images, spiraling. After getting off Instagram, I don't know. Sometimes I just don't eat or try to eat less. I mean, again, there's an underlying issue there. You know, they didn't start feeling unhappy with their weight or how they look because of Instagram, but this is Instagram directly causing the problem to be worse, like directly giving them the ammunition to harm themselves by those pictures. I mean, body dysmorphia. I wish I had the money to get my nose / other body parts fixed, something they heard. Body dissatisfaction. When I keep looking at these pictures, I feel like I'm too big and not pretty enough. It makes me feel insecure about my body, even though I know I am skinny. Depression. The constant judgment and jealousy can take you to a dark place. Sometimes after spiraling, I just close my phone and lie in bed. Loneliness. I feel like maybe because I look like this, I don't have a boyfriend. I saw this kid with acne and he had friends. I didn't realize that was possible. I mean, that's depressing. That's rough. That's rough. I mean, and I want to stress here, this isn't like, and you know, Facebook in their research, realizes they do this too. They even compare themselves to other social networks. Here, look, here's another slide directly from Facebook. Well, through their leaked. The leaked slides. On Instagram, explore feed and stories contribute to social comparison, but in different ways. On explore, that's like the search function where, like, you know, you're not really search, but when you like the recommendations Instagram gives you. Tons of body image triggers, intimidating. On the feeds and profiles, the standards, aesthetics. One-upping each other, rabbit hole of discovery, celebs have high impact, high frequency compounding on Instagram stories, see celebs first, formal to be seen, broadcast, face, body, celebrities. And they compare themselves to Snapchat in that sense, where Snapchat's fun, social, entertain, closest friends. So there's comfort there. Face only, no bodies. I guess that's the type of stuff usually, type of content posted to those networks. No celebs. So on Snapchat. Oh, I mean, in terms of how Snapchat works, not like you're seeing celeb content in your feed, because Snapchat's really for people you know. I mean, it's, listen, and I want to, say, like, obviously, Instagram, I'm not saying that, like, you know, these are young people who are, happen to follow these accounts. And what can Instagram do? Ban people who post pictures of themselves in bikinis? Of course not. But we're talking about like the recommendations and the things that Instagram push into these feeds as well. We're not just talking about like what your friends post, because even Instagram states themselves that's not what it's all about in their own research. There is a whole culture on there fomented by the platform's culture of, you know, having the perfect body, or here with the interactions, how that works there, being, you know, popular, racking up followers, racking up likes on your photos. And again, these are issues on other platforms too, but Instagram, in my estimation, not even my estimation, you can see the numbers. You can see public numbers. Young people use Instagram. Twitter, sure, young people are on Twitter, but Twitter's for certain types of users. You know, it's not like Twitter is the number one platform for young people. Facebook, obviously, is a bunch of older users. Young people are leaving that platform in droves. By the way, Instagram, again, owned by Facebook. Instagram is like the major platform for young people, and TikTok's hot on its trail, obviously. But even if you, there's some of these slides here, actually, where Facebook even says itself that, you know, TikTok is not, you know, young people are not internalizing this stuff on TikTok in the same way they are on Instagram. It's just being used differently. Instagram has found that they are a platform that is toxic to young people. And it's especially, to me, especially concerning. Because, you know, Facebook has come out and tried to defend themselves, which is fine. Obviously, they're going to do that, and they have the right to do that, and they're trying to say our research is being misconstrued. They put out slides with annotations where they say that it's being misconstrued, and they try to explain the data where, you know, there are, you know, something like, here it is. Where was this? Something like 12 out of 12 things that they asked teens if they were getting out of Instagram in terms of positive to their, you know, positive aspects to their mental health. Something like 8 out of 12 young women received, and like 12 out of 12 young men received. Fine. I mean, okay. If you're asking them like that, sure. But they're also telling you the harmful aspects too. And in Facebook's own conclusion, they have, of their leaked slides, they have, you know, body image comparisons are formed by a trifecta of factors: body standards, flawless skin, and fashion. Social comparison journeys mimic the grief cycle. Confidence building and inspiration are rooted in the combination of reality, accessibility, and attainable aspiration. Social comparison is worse on Instagram. It is perceived as real life, but based on celebrity standards. Explore and profile stalking enables never-ending rabbit holes. There they are admitting themselves that the way their platform works, Explore, again, is an algorithm-based Instagram feature, enables never-ending rabbit holes. Celebrity content is more frequent, but friends' content is more impactful on in terms of social comparison. Other apps are shielded by fun filters. TikTok is grounded in dance. Fun. That's what I was bringing up before. Snapchat is sheltered by the element of fun that keeps focus on the face and not the body and sharing with close friends. What I said before. At the other extreme, VSCO, which is a filter app, mobile app, is a detached dream that is 100% edited. So here you have basically Facebook saying that, you know, these teens are actually able, when they're using VSCO, to realize what is real and what's not. And to them, VSCO, because of how it's used and how it's marketed itself and how it's basically created its platform, everyone who uses VSCO knows it's all, you know, it's make-believe. Stuff on there is just filtered and not based in reality. Whereas Instagram is the exact opposite. Teens use it and can't tell that this is not like a fake world that, you know, celebrities are have curated and created. So you would think they're living this life. They see this skinny celebrity and, you know, out, you know, this, when I say celebrity too, you have to remember, we're not just talking, we're talking about like Hollywood celebs who are like inaccessible and unattainable. For young people, celebs are those influencers who they create these parasocial sort of relationships with, and they think they know them and they feel connected to them. And they feel like, oh, you know, they're not, they wouldn't lie to me. You know, this isn't Hollywood magic. This isn't the power of editing and post-production and, you know, Photoshop. My favorite influencers posting their body on Instagram. And that's who they are. That's naturally who, that's real. They're having the time of their life out there laughing in the photo with all their friends. I mean, in reality, I saw this great, I don't have the video on me. Shit. It's really a fantastic video. Let me see if I could quickly. All right, here it is. I mean, but in reality, this is what all social media is really. But to stress, Instagram especially is like this. So here's a clip that really tells you exactly how all social media is, just for people who aren't really sure. Let me pull this clip up right now. Now, if you're listening to the audio clip of the podcast, you can't see this video, but let me replay it for live streamers. It's a video someone shot of a bunch of influencers taking an Instagram photo, or where, a photo for wherever, but it could be Instagram, and they're at a bar, and they're posing for the photo, and the second the photo, the snapshot is taken, they immediately drop the smiling faces and look miserable. Just so I don't get copyrighted on any music. One more time, because this video is hilarious. Let me go back to the, here we go. I mean, Facebook's own research even goes further than just identifying the problems. They realize there are things they can do to fix the issues on their platform. And excuse me if I'm not saying VSCO right. That's beyond me. That's even where I tap out in terms of young people apps. I am familiar with it. I just don't know how it's pronounced. Targeted interventions. Celebrate small but meaningful accomplishments to show users their lives are moving forward. Show progress toward a goal. Showing the journey rather than just destination highlights. Customize and personalize Instagram experience. Allow users to easily show dislike for types of content to customize the algorithm. Timeout breaks. Surface fun filters. I mean, you know, some of this is like corporate speak, but they are realizing that there's things they can do. And the fact of the matter is they just really haven't done them. In fact, what they've decided to do instead, since halted, I should add, when this stuff leaked. So it's not like the research made them decide, oh, we should pause this. The leak of the research and the bad PR they were receiving made them pause this. They were playing an Instagram for kids app. I'm sorry. Bad idea. Instagram for kids app. I don't understand how that would actually be used, to be quite frank. I mean, I know there's a YouTube Kids. My children use it. And for video content, it makes sense because there are legit content producers out there, like legitimate educational companies, creating content for these apps, these specific kid-oriented apps. YouTube Kids, you go on there. Obviously, there are creators who create kids related material, but they have to specifically click a button that says this is for kids to enter the YouTube Kids app. And sure, there are times where things that aren't supposed to go through that app get through, But for the most part, the app is now, at the very least, a curated experience for children that show, like Sesame Street, Peppa Pig, kid-oriented stuff. Paw Patrol. It took criticism and bad PR for YouTube to get there too, but sure, they got there. And that's where we are right now. But for Instagram, I'm not sure like what Instagram for kids would be. Now, remember, Instagram for kids would be under 13, which is like pictures of this. I don't even know. I don't even understand it, quite frankly, how it would actually be. I know there's a messenger, Facebook Messenger for kids. My children are like, my son is six. He ain't using Facebook Messenger for kids even. So that's where I don't have experience with children in that slightly older age range. But I mean, at the hearing, Facebook didn't even have answers for some really obvious stuff. Ed Markey, Senator Ed Markey from, Massachusetts, he had some great line of questioning. He also had some really corny remarks. Like he said, IG stands for Instagreed, which I understand what he's saying. The sentiment is, yeah. But he also, actually, this one was pretty good. Instagram is that first childhood cigarette meant to get teens hooked early. Right. I mean, yeah. In terms of how Facebook views Instagram, get them onto your platform early, and then they'll be on there, and then they'll eventually move to Facebook as they get older. But one really simple thing Markey asked was if he committed to, Markey asked if Facebook would commit to whether the company would promise not to include features like popularity quantifiers, like numbers and follower counts on any service marketed towards children. That seems to make sense for me. Again, let's use the YouTube comparison. They didn't always do this. They needed to take some bad press to finally get to this point, but YouTube content for kids, even on the main YouTube.com platform, if it's for kids, there's no longer a comment section. Quite frankly, I think that's good. There should not be user-generated comments, especially on a site like YouTube, where you guys know how toxic those comment sections and live chat streams could be on YouTube. You don't want that shit on the same page as your Muppet Babies video that kids are watching. So they have made changes to the platform specifically for their youngest users. And Facebook just wouldn't commit to removing follower accounts or like numbers or any sort of social media popularity quantifier. I mean, personally, for adults, that's fine. Adults like seeing the popularity account, counts, the follower counts, the likes. I don't care. But for children, it seems like it'd be bad. I mean, not even seems like it'd be bad. We know how it is for teens on Instagram because it affects them in the ways that Facebook's own research has uncovered. It seems like a simple thing to say. Yeah, if we released Instagram for kids, it would just be for the kids' content. No like numbers and follower counts. And then another thing he asked them to commit to was, and to me, this seems so obvious. So obvious. He asked them to commit to banning influencer marketing on kids' platforms. I don't understand how you can't commit to that. I mean, first of all, again, using the YouTube example, they took a big hit about this, how they were advertising to kids and they were actually collecting data for children when they weren't supposed to, in order to allow that to be used to determine advertiser targeting, like ad targeting for children. They don't do that anymore. And Ed Markey even pointed out that he actually is behind existing laws where for television, you cannot sell product to children within the program. Like, obviously, advertisers can pay for ads during the commercial, like commercials, and obviously broadcast very obvious advertisements during those programs. But during, like, in a children's program, like a host, a children's show host cannot come out on Nickelodeon and say, buy this product. You could do that. I mean, you can see that on, it's all over. You can see that. But Facebook would not agree to that. I mean, you see how influencer marketing is on Instagram. You have young people buying all this like Instagram e-commerce junk on there. There's all sorts of like viral products on Instagram that get sold. But they won't commit to not doing that sort of thing. The influencer marketing stuff for young people. I mean, honestly, I think there is way too much gray area there, even on other platforms. I have a real problem with some of these platforms, like with some of these creators, like, for example, Ryan Toy Review. My son was really into Ryan Toy Review for a while, and there were some videos where I thought they were fine, just them playing. Obviously, if you're doing a video where your kid's playing with a toy, it is what it is. They're going to play with a toy, and they're going to, but there are some that are obviously like, this toy was provided to the family. They might have received payment to specifically promote that toy. The kid has his own line of toys, which he promotes in his videos. I mean, this is a gray area to me, and it shouldn't be. You should not be able to promote this sort of stuff to children. Another kids creator that my daughter, who's two, is really into is Blippi. And now I'm not sure how much, if Blippi has never done this, but for the most part, Blippi's videos are him going to a child's play place and just playing there. Or there's some educational stuff. There's some him like playing, and my daughter likes that. Or he goes to the zoo, or he goes to a public park, like a playground. That's fine. He doesn't, from what I've seen, he doesn't do much advertising of products, if any, but I'm sure there's some videos where he does, but I think that should be like the standard, though. You should not be allowed to market products to children within the actual content. And Facebook wouldn't commit to that either. I will say it did give Senator Markey a chance to reintroduce his Kids Act, actually, which aims to address some of these situations we just talked about. Like, for example, it would, on a federal level, ban online platforms for children, like that are targeting children, basically users under the age of 16, according to the Kids Act. It would ban like autoplay features and push alerts, which is good. Kids' content shouldn't autoplay. Kids platforms, I should say, shouldn't autoplay videos nonstop. There should be a point where they say enough, you've watched enough, unless a parent wants to intercede and allow the child watch more. Push alerts seem like a terrible idea for, so yeah, that shouldn't be allowed. Obviously, would prohibit kids and kids content from amplifying violent and dangerous content. Depends what, to me, dangerous and violent is. Like, I think kids should be allowed to watch, you know, Ninja Turtles and stuff like that. I don't find a problem with that sort of stuff. But if we're talking, like, those bizarre videos out there where creators are chopping the heads off of, like, Elsa from Frozen and, like, having blood squirt out the neck, I mean, yeah, kids shouldn't watch that. See, that's the thing for me. That's the thing for me as a parent of two kids there is like a clear difference between like these just like everyday like online content creators and what kids' content is on TV and in the movies and such. And it sucks that it's like this because I want to obviously do my politics, support like the small indie non-corporate creators and not these like big corporations. But when it comes to this, there's a vast difference between what's allowed in both. And like I trust, you know, Nickelodeon, for example, or Cartoon Network to have some sort of standards in terms of like how they show things. Like, you know, you can like Power Rangers has fighting in it, but they know what a kid could handle in terms of like, yeah, there's punching and kicking, but they're not, you know, beheading someone and having Jason the Red Ranger holding up a putty guy's spine as blood drips down it, right? But on the other hand, like you go on YouTube and there's these small creators who are like, oh, Sky from Paw Patrol is so sick, as they pulled the Sky toy. Let's take him to surgery. And then they take out a scalpel and open up the Sky Paw Patrol toy and pull out guts, like fake guts and I can't remember. I want to say Play-Doh, but I'm not thinking of Play-Doh. You know, they pull out Play-Doh that's supposed to look, yeah, like there's a huge difference there. I'm sorry. Also, you know, these companies tend to actually work with experts in children's psychology and education to create content that, if it's at the very least not educational, it at least is, you know, make sure they adhere to standards of, you know, what children can handle. The YouTubers and Facebook creators and Instagram posters, they're not doing that. I mean, they're just not. They're just putting up whatever gets them the most views. Slime. Thank you, Pranay. I don't know why I couldn't. Gak. That's another one I was trying to think of. Yes, thank you. It's like, you know, so weird some of the kids' content you see online. Disturbing. Disturbing. You know, I have plenty of criticisms of Disney and other big children's companies, but I know they're not going to, you know, forever alter my children's view of things by showing them, you know, detrimental, you know, gore and shit like that. You know, Sesame Street, I could put my kid in front of Sesame Street and know they're going to view safe educational content, entertaining kids' content. When my son was into Ryan Toy Review, there were times where I was like, this is so exploitative how they're promoting some of this, these toys. There's nothing educational here. There's no lesson. It's just sheer consumerism here. Yeah, and it's, yeah. Did my cat just fall off his perch? I just heard a huge crash in there. Hopefully it was the cat and not the kids falling off their bed. but anyway, Facebook would not. Oh, back to the Kids Act. Excuse me. And the Kids Act from Markey would also prohibit websites from recommending content that includes host selling or influencer marketing, such as unboxing videos. Yeah, I mean, this should just go without saying. I mean, this to me is the easiest thing to agree to. I mean, yeah, there are ads in kids' apps, and there are obviously ads. You want to sell content to kids, they should be subject to the advertising rules out there for children, labeled ads, viewed by human people to make sure that the ads adhere to regulations. and fine. But the in-content advertising to children, I think that should be the easiest thing to say no to in an app targeting children. Anyway, I'm sure there's a lot more to go into here. But I wanted to give you guys a quick rundown of what this is all about. I think in the near future, I'll have some, probably do an episode on it with some experts in the field of both social media regulation and also how this stuff affects kids. I mean, the show is called Doomed, and I think this is truly some doomed-worthy type of stuff here. I mean, I don't know how your own researchers can basically say, we got a problem here. And the first thing you do isn't, let's deal with this. And listen, there are unintended consequences, sure. I'm talking about like the normal social media startup, like tech startup, like break stuff, like create, build fast and break stuff or whatever it is. I'm not even talking about that, which I think is abhorrent when it comes to various different niches. Like obviously if your platform is like a blog, you could do that. But when your platform is a like a autonomous vehicle, you can't do that. You know what I mean? There's real world direct consequences there. But, you know, that aside, I'm not even talking about that. Unintended consequences. Facebook finds out, oh, our platform is toxic to teens. It's making them feel depressed and want to self-harm and give in to their body disorders, their eating disorders. I don't know how you think you should go ahead with Instagram for Kids instead of dealing with this situation first. All right. How much time is that? That's the only, I always go long. I thought this would be a short show. I thought I'd give like the freebies like 30-minute show, 40 minutes maybe. We're already approaching almost an hour. We're at like 55 minutes. That's the first half of the show. Let's go to the second half of the show. Patreons can stick around. I'm sorry. Live stream viewers can stick around. Obviously, patrons can stick around. Patrons will even get this added to the Patreon channel, separate from the full live stream, audio version too. But live stream viewers, people watching live, and patrons, you stick around. For the freebie listeners, this is where I say goodbye to you all. Patreon.com/MattBinder to support the show. Oh, by the way, if you're watching live, you'll notice I'm wearing my Dare hoodie. I decided to wear it because I noticed. Actually, I looked at it and decided that's how I was going to title my the episode today. I decided to wear it. It seemed like it fit the episode. I just hope, listen, to close it out here, I just hope, just directly right now, there's many things we could talk about Facebook and Instagram. I felt like I'm being very fair here. Much fairer than I think others or even I should be. I think at the very least, right now, Facebook needs to deal with their own the results of their own research. They need to address it immediately. I think they would receive a lot of goodwill for doing this. We've already seen how they exacerbate other issues. I don't think my daughter's feeling too good today. Don't worry, I'm not just leaving her there. Her mom is taking care of it. Facebook, has exacerbated a number of issues. We see how QAnon and anti-vaxxer conspiracies spread on there. We've seen how it's been used by extremists. We've seen how foreign actors have used it to upend elections. Let's put all that aside for a second. Facebook needs to address this specific thing immediately. This isn't an issue that could be kicked down the curb. This is something where young people could basically take their lives because of the content they're inundated with on these platforms. Again, I'm not asking Facebook and Instagram, not only anyone is asking Facebook and Instagram to work magic. These kids will still come across issues based on their friends and who they follow on any platform. But clearly, Facebook's own research has found that the way the Instagram platform works, the way its algorithm decides what to promote, is the issue here. We can continue to deal with how social media has affected society as a whole and is affecting children. But when you know that your platform, distinctly your platform, as told by your own research that compared it to other platforms and found that your platform has a distinct issue compared to all other social media platforms, I think that is the obvious thing to do, addressing those issues. All right, let's go to the second half of the show. Patreon.com/MattBinder if you could help, if you support the show. I will open up the Skype. I'll take calls. Doomed Live, search Doomed Live on Skype, and I'll take your calls. There's maybe a video or two I'll play. We'll take a look at what else is there. All right. To the freebie listeners, I will see you all next time on Doomed.